Chapter 7. I took the back route into Montana and drifted by the Tongue River Reservoir to the Rosebud Battlefield, where, on June 17, 1876, the American-Indian Wars hit a turning point when an unarmed warrior rode into a ferocious battle to save a brother. I had plenty of time, so I pulled the truck to a stop. I let Dog out and stood by the entrance of the makeshift battlefield, very different from the little bighorn just up the road. There's no visitor center at the Battle of the Rosebud, just a bulletin board with a map, a trash can, and a lockbox with envelopes to deposit your $8 for day use. You can camp there overnight, but I had a basketball game to go to. Nonetheless, something had pulled the wheel of my truck and called me to go the mile and a quarter up the gravel road. There's no gift shop or trading post, just the gentle rolling hills of the Bighorn country and a quiet stream that at one point had run red. But that's not how the Northern Cheyenne remember it. After paying the $8, I followed Dog past the minimal signage by the gravel road, and we made our way toward the trees at the Rosebud Creek near Van Vliet's Ridge. And I looked back, the buffalo jump a scoured white in the afternoon sunlight. Dog wandered down to the water and took a few laps before raising his head and looking at the cliffs along with me. "You better go to the bathroom. The facilities in the parking lot of Lame Deer High School aren't going to be as inviting." He stared at me. "Suit yourself." In the hit-and-run experience of the Plains Indians, the Battle of the Rosebud was a long and bloody engagement. According to Captain Anson Mills, the Lakota and Cheyenne warriors put on a display of horsemanship that revealed them to be some of the greatest cavalry soldiers on earth. One of them was a chief called Comes in Sight, who had had his horse shot out from under him in an area that was deemed as far too dangerous to attempt a rescue. Bullets from the Wasichus were slapping the ground all around the young man. He finally accepted his fate and turned to sing his death song to General George Crook's troops, just as a lone rider broke from the native ranks, making a beeline toward the injured man. The troops sighted in on the rider and increased their volley, but the warrior continued to approach Comes in Sight at full speed. The rider whirled with superhuman agility and grasped the outstretched hand of the chief, pulling him from the ground and swinging hard to the left. The chief was pulled onto the back of the horse as a deadly hail of bullets whizzed after them like an angry swarm. Blasting through the wallows and back to safety, Comes in Sight slid off and looked up to discover that it was his sister, Mutsimiyuna, Buffalo Calf Road woman, who had saved him. The amazing feat she performed that day rallied the Cheyenne in a counterattack that defeated Crook's forces, and the Cheyenne and Lakota forever referred to the skirmish as the battle where the girl saved her brother. Rumor on the res is that Mutsimiyuna then fought alongside her husband, Black Coyote, and was the one who struck Custer with a club at the Battle of the Little Bighorn, knocking him from his horse. Dog followed me as I walked up from the creek bank and crossed to the road, which I followed west. I'd like to think that a woman such as this had a wonderful and lengthy life, but such was not the case. After eventually surrendering to the U.S., she and her husband and two children were relocated to a reservation in Oklahoma. They escaped in September 1878, but were recaptured and her husband was sentenced to be executed. While Black Coyote was in prison, Mutsimiyuna died of diphtheria, and upon hearing this, he hanged himself. Sometimes, all it takes is one small act of heroism to chart a new path for history. I thought about Jeannie One Moon and how she hadn't had the opportunity for her moment of heroism. Or had she? And had it cost her life? That was the mystery and the tragedy of my life's work. Sometimes you found the answers and sometimes you didn't. Dog barked and my reverie was lost. He stood at a pipe barricade, looking to the north and the pale cliffs of the buffalo jump panting and wagging his tail. I looked out across the canyon but didn't see anything. "What's up?" He ignored me and took a step forward. I was starting to get worried and moved past the beast. "What?" I walked toward the edge of the canyon, where the dead grass was stiff and high and the sunlight played off the conifers, dissipating the light like an impressionist painting. I stared at him. "What's wrong with you?" He barked again and then darted out toward the edge of the canyon, shooting off to one direction, disappearing over the side. "Dog!" When I got to the edge, I could see him scrambling down a narrow trail toward the bottom of the canyon, where a small stream threaded its way through. Dog! Continuing to ignore me, he made it to the bottom, crossed where there was a narrow area of snow, and then began clawing his way up the other side as if possessed. I cursed and began finding my way down the canyon wall on the deer trail, scuffing my hands on the rocks. As I got to the bottom, I watched as he struggled his way up the other side and disappeared into the tree line. Damn it!